Right. So they're a tough team. They're a very athletic team. They got a group of guys. The Beckering brothers are there now. Henry transferred over from Division One a year ago. So they're big, they're strong, and very athletic. So it's always a tough test when you go to play at Calgary.
So Brent, what does your role have to be this weekend? Because that is the question with this UBC team, is how you guys are going to be able to play against a big basketball team. And I guess we'll find out against Calgary.
Well, personally, I'm just going to have to go in and just whatever the coaches want me to do. I mean, I've been playing the forward, I've been playing the guard. Never really know when I'm going in for who. So we just got to, I just have to go in and just be aggressive in all aspects of the game.
So what's the strategy against Calgary here?
We like every game, we just focus on ourselves as long as we're playing tough defense and running our offense, getting out and letting our defense become our offense, getting transition hoops, and that's the goal. Just worry about us and let the score, let what happens, happens.
A little harder on the big men this week, though, in practice, because you are going to need them on Saturday.
Well, we're hard on our big guys pretty much every week, so that nothing really changes in that part, though. So, but they're going to be huge on the Saturday game as well. They have to come out and play tough interior defense, and above all, they have to rebound for us to be successful.
You're laughing. They are hard on you guys all the time?
They're hard on the bigs, yep. Especially Vern.
There you go.
Push-ups and all.
There you go. What is with all the push-ups?
When guys make mistakes, there's got to be consequences. So, and it's usually my job to give guys push-ups to remind them that they made a mistake. So,
how's Brent doing push-ups?
He's better now. His rookie year was kind of comical watching him do push-ups. Like all first-year guys, with the exception of probably Graham Bath, he's a pretty big kid. But it's pretty comical seeing some guys do push-ups. So,
Are you better at them? Are you better at them than what he's saying right now? Or? Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's good, but last year
were you struggling at them last year? You feel like you're doing a good job, or?
I don't remember last year very well.
Graham Bath, I can see he's good at push-ups, though. Hey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you look at the size of Graham. Yeah, he's pretty good at push-ups.
They aren't your favorite things here, these push-ups. Hey, I can just see your.
I don't mind push-ups.
All right. And I will say, though, that I'm wearing today my Jamarcus Russell jersey.
Yes, as I saw.
My Jamarcus Russell jersey, and. You know, I got the stitch numbers on. Very proud of my jersey here. And, Graham, you actually said in practice that you like this jersey. And now that I've got you in here, you're...
It's a nice jersey. I didn't say I like the player.
But you like the jersey. Well, what's... Oh,
it's a nice jersey. But I'm...
It is an Oakland Raider jersey. Yeah. Like...
What's wrong with... It's a jersey.
Last time they've won is...
Hold on. They've won both. I'm not an Oakland Raider fan.
When's the last time they had a winning season? Okay.
I'm not an Oakland Raider fan. I mean, they won this... They won in the 80s. Marcus Allen. Marcus
84,
Allen.
I think, was when Marcus Allen was there. Yeah.
Okay, but we're talking to a guy here. Coach Knopp here.
Who, 84, by the way, was over 20 years ago now, right?
I'm an Eagles fan, and they've never won.
Well, that's
they've never won.
That sucks to be you, I guess.
You will see. You know what? It's too bad. If I was in Calgary, you could see my. I have a Brian Dawkins. He's a defensive back for the Eagles, and their 75th anniversary jersey, the blue and yellow.
Those are hideous.
You know that? That's what I own. I got one of those. So
why doesn't that surprise me?
Now hold on here. You like the jersey though, Brent. And now you're bailing on me when we're on the radio?
No, no, no.
What's the story?
I said it was a nice jersey. I didn't say I liked the player.
I don't even know what that means. Is it a nice jersey at least? Be honest.
Besides the fact that it's an Oakland Raider jersey, it's a nice looking jersey.
Okay, and we're talking to a guy here who, you know, I see them everywhere all the time, and it's just cheese ball. What's the cheesiest jersey to own right now, Brent?
Cheesiest?
Yeah, what's like, you're a fan of that guy, big deal. You know, you're wearing that jersey. Come on, it's live here. You gotta throw it out there. You're a good student. You're in this school, I'm sure. Come on.
Cheesiest jersey?
Yeah, come on. Like, you know, ooh, you own that guy's jersey, you know?
Probably
like,
Michael Vick.
No. Come on. Hey. Who's like the common jersey right now?
LeBron James.
No, football. Stay with football.
Football. Tom Brady.
There you go. Good answer.
You're close. Or?
Well, you want me to say Peyton because he's a Colts fan?
you knew that, eh?
Only the cool people wear Peyton Manning jerseys.
Peyton Manning jersey. I'm getting dissed by a guy who owns a Peyton Manning jersey. Is there a more, besides, I guess, Tom Brady?
Reigning Super Bowl champion.
There a more? Exactly. Reigning Super Bowl champion.
And I believe MVP of the Super Bowl.
I just think you could have gone a little more original than that jersey.
I bought Manning's jersey when he was a rookie.
Yeah, they were.
There you go.
You see, I hit a soft spot. Did you see that? You got all defensive there. You got a little defensive. So, guys, what's the goal this weekend, though? Taking on Lethbridge, taking on Calgary. I guess the goal, obviously, is to win both games. Just keep things going. I mean, great start, you know. Is that it?
Great start. Keep the ball rolling. That's basically as simple as that. Come out with two wins.
And did they give you – what did they say? My question, Brent, is after you win a game by 38 points, was it 38 points on the Saturday, did they even – was it all positive after that game against SFU?
Well, no, like Vern said earlier, we had turned the ball over 27 times against a non-pressing team, so.
Not all the way, hey?
No.
Okay. Perfectionist. Lousy perfectionist, hey?
You have to be if you want to be successful.
There you go. So you're taking on Lethbridge, you're taking on Calgary. A perfect start to your season, 2-0, 27 points and 35 points, respectively, against divisional opponents. Can't go any better than that. Brent Malsh and Vern Knopp from the UBC Thunder men's basketball
team. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. Thank you, Brent. So you are taking, though, the Colts 4.5-point underdogs at home.
They're going to win outright at home.
They're going to win outright.
I have no pick right now.
Nope.
I'm waiting for the line to go up.
That's a nice jacket, though. That's a nice UBC tracksuit jacket. You guys get both of these or just one of them?
This is last year's model, yep.
That's much nicer.
I would agree, yes.
That is much nicer. That's a little...
Well, this is even school. This is like Oakland Raider colors, so it can't be good already.
Dude, I have this guy in my fantasy pool.
Well, that tells you how bad you are at your fantasy team. Holy cow.
You wait and see, okay? Wow. It's a keeper. I got to keep this guy, Jamarcus Russell. Number two, baby.
You always need a good cleaning rag every now and then. So
a few years
when he's washed up and out of the league, you can use it for cleaning.
That's good.
There you go.
That's good. All right, everybody. We'll be right back with Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. And the song we were about to play, if you listen to my show, we're going back to Bleu, Blanc et Rouge, the Montreal Canadiens theme song from about 1982, the French version. We'll be right back with Julio. Okay, apparently that didn't want to work for me right there, so we just have to take a little pause here on the show. I've got a CD in. Why isn't this working? Oh, you know what? I'm so dumb. Okay. There we go.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM. And, Julio, as a Leafs fan...
I don't admit that to anybody anymore.
You shouldn't.
No,
you
should. Know.
You know what, Julio? It's getting to the point. Don't even admit you're from Toronto.
Yeah, I know. That's true. You know, it's funny you say that because my parents and sister are out here from Toronto visiting. And my sister is 8 years older than I am, and she's the one who really got me, you know, she's a big hockey fan, and so obviously with the big age difference, you know, she was the big influence growing up because we always had to watch what she wanted. But I tell you, it was, even for her to come out here and see that score yesterday, she says, my God, what does it come to? And
well,
it's true.
Well, 7-1 losers, but they still do have a better record than the Vancouver Canucks. But, Julio, I mean, you've been out in B.C. for a really long time now. Are you shocked at the almost hatred of Toronto?
Out here? Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not surprised. They have good reason to be angry at the people in Toronto. They're pretty self-absorbed back there about themselves. So, you know, I know what I'm going to end up being. Daryl, I'm going to end up being like a Red Sox fan. I'm going to end up waiting until like I'm, you know, hopefully, you know, in my 80s, waiting for them to win a championship because it does not look like it's anywhere near going to happen for a long, long time there.
Yeah, but Julio, they've never won it here either. Let's remember that.
Yeah, so. you know, I think you get the same kind of feel. It's interesting because you get the same kind of feel from hearing the fans talk. You know, I was listening to Rick Ball's show today, and the fans are so passionate about that team, and they're passionate about the Leafs back in Toronto, and there's such a high expectation, you know, in both cities to win that you would think that with that passion is going to come these kind of times when the team isn't doing well. You're going to hear it from people, and then definitely they've got a lot to say.
How's Rick Ball doing? I haven't seen him in a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah, he's doing very good. He's a good dude, man.
There you go. All right, with me right now, Julio Caravatta from the BC Lions Radio Network. BC has now clinched the Western Conference Final, Julio.
Yes.
And they, with one win against Calgary this weekend, will set the franchise record for wins in a season. They're 13-3-1 right now. And, Julio, my question is, I mean, even if this Lions team sets the franchise record, are they the best team ever for the Lions?
No.
And hold on, my other question is, are they even the best Lions team the last 3 years?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, I mean, to me, the team that they had last year, Daryl, I think was, you know, could rival any team in the history of the Lions. And you know, obviously, when you talk about the Lions and you compare the great teams, really, it probably comes down to what? It comes to two teams, really, that 85 team, right?
Yep.
And the team last year. And I think in other years, especially when the teams won the Grey Cup, they're not necessarily the best team. They just got on the right role at the right time and were able to win a championship. But I'm talking from start to finish, talent-wise. I think last year the Lions were much more consistent. But having said that, really, if you look at in the history of the Lions and what's happened to this team, it could be one of the greatest performances by a team that has been decimated by injury, really. You know, to do what they've done over the course of a season with the injury that they've had, and I know that everybody likes to cry, you know, when they have injuries themselves. Everybody's going to say, well, we battle injury as well. But honestly, Daryl, if you look at the teams that lose their starting quarterback and their record, and you compare them to the BC Lions, I think that all the other teams combined with their starting a backup quarterback or even a third quarterback, I think that they have only one victory. And you look at what Jarius Jackson's been able to do with this team. It's remarkable. It really, truly is remarkable. And any of the teams that we talk about, like you talk about Saskatchewan, and you look at what's happened to Edmonton when they lose their starting quarterback, yeah, they're competitive, but, you know, they're still a long ways away. It is tremendous to say what the Lions have done with what they've got on the field for sure.
So you're saying the best move that maybe Wally Buono's ever made, or you know, because we're all wondering, was keeping Jarius Jackson coming into this season.
Well, I don't I, I don't even know if it was a case of keeping. I think he wanted to get rid of him. I really do. I think at the beginning of the year, if you look at the way everything kind of went down, you know, they had Dave Dickinson, they had Buck Pierce, they had a lot of money sunk in it, and I think that what it was he wasn't going to give him away to anybody. He wasn't. I'm sure there were some teams interested, but he wasn't going to give them away, and he wanted, a high draft pick. In fact, he wanted a number one draft pick. He wanted the team's first rounder, and nobody wanted to do it. I know that Winnipeg and Brendan Tamman, they were laughing at them. They said, forget it. We're not giving you a first rounder for Jarius. Forget it. And even Brendan was quite critical of Jarius Jackson earlier on in the year, saying that he thought he was an average quarterback. But I think that, by not giving him away and, realizing what his value was, that he held on to him. And you know what? Luckily for him, because God only knows where this team would have been if it wasn't for Jarius Jackson.
Because the word that describes Jarius Jackson is resiliency. I mean, I can't remember the game, Julie, but his first start as a BC Lion was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah, who were they playing that game? And they lost. Yeah.
Yeah, they were playing Saskatchewan, and he was terrible. He was like 16 of 39 for 129 yards and three interceptions. But, Darryl, there is the big stat there. He threw the ball 39 times. That's not his game. He is not that kind of quarterback. He is not the kind of guy that is going to awe you with his decision making and his finesse and by throwing the ball to the right receiver every single time. He is going to power a ball into some places where he shouldn't throw it, and he's going to get away with it because he's got a great arm. But he's a guy that he makes smart decisions. He gets rid of the ball when he has to get rid of the ball, and they have a strong running game to complement him. And I think that once Jarius had that start, and they didn't run the ball that game. I think you remember, they only ran Joe Smith against Saskatchewan like 9 times that game. And everyone was screaming, why didn't you run him more? I think they finally realized that that's the kind of team that they had to reinvent themselves at that time, and that's what they did. They reinvented themselves. They were allowed to go out and change that offense from what it was in the years past, in a high-flying offense, throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game, to an offense that controls the ball, controls the line of scrimmage, is going to use Joe Smith, is going to pound him, and then they're going to play action you. They're going to dink and dunk. They're going to make smart decisions. They're going to put long drives together, and they're going to wear you down. And then with their defense, they are also going to be able to turn the ball over. My God, they've got like 162 points this year on turnovers. That's unbelievable stat. And when you've got a defense like that, you don't need your offense to be very spectacular. And case in point, look at Toronto, Darryl. They are terrible offensively. Terrible. Yet they win 16-9. And they win by not scoring more than maybe one touchdown a game. And that's unheard of. And that just goes to show you the strength of Toronto's defense. So, it's one of those things where the Lions have really kind of molded themselves the right way and with what the talent they have. And you got to give Wally credit. He's done a tremendous job doing that.
Yeah, and Julie, you mentioned another guy I want to talk to you about is Joe Smith. Is when I was working for Rick Ball producing a couple years ago, last year I should say, is I was told to go out and call the Louisiana Tech offensive coordinator, which I did, and I had to find out, was there a problem with Joe Smith? I mean, how is this guy so good? Nobody in the pro game picked him up. And the offensive coordinator told me there is nothing, I don't know his name offhand, but there was nothing wrong with Joe Smith. Great kid. And he was just thrilled that he got a chance. And, I mean, is this a guy who quite simply just fell into BC's lap?
He is. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly what he is. He actually was the second choice. The kid that they have now, I believe, on the practice roster, I think it's Butchie Wallace. He was the guy they wanted. And he wasn't going to – he didn't come. Well, the agent that represents Wallace is the same agent that represents Smith. And so what ended up happening was, well, he's not going to come because he's going to still explore some stuff in NFL Europe. He goes, but I've got another guy, and I think you're going to like him. And that's how Joe Smith came to be a BC Lions. So, really, what has he turned out? He really impressed a lot of people at training camp. He was a guy that really was very well-rounded as far as – not only being able to run the ball, but he caught the ball very well, and he was very, very good at his blocking assignments. And ultimately, that's what Antonio Warren lost his job for and what made Joe Smith a contender was that ability to make those blitz on blitz pickup.
Yeah, we learned that on the Dave Dickinson right?
So. Yeah, and it's you have to be the complete player up here, right? If you want to play on every down, and most of the running backs up here are like that, you have got to know what your blocking assignments are because that's a third of your job. And if you don't, you're going to get your quarterback killed. And if you get your quarterback killed in this league, that means you're going to get the coach fired. And you know what I mean? Most coaches don't want to get fired. And so you know what I mean, right, Daryl? Like that, it's one of those things where you've got to be the complete player up here. And Joe Smith has proven above and beyond that he is the complete player. And really, you have to say this, that halfway through this year when they decided that they were going to be a run team first, that he literally picked this team up on its back as well as the offensive line, and away they went. Because no one, I think, ever really worried about the defense. They knew the defense was going to be pretty good. You know, yeah, they had some, they bend and they bend a little bit, but they don't break too often. But offensively, they had to get their thing together, their act together, and they were when Joe Smith started to, really pound the ball.
Yeah, Joe, I just want to ask you, we talk about this probably not the best BC Lion team ever, but is this the best BC Lion defensive line you have seen?
Well, I have to say so, and I should say that in with all due respect to the other offensive lines, because I think that I pay more attention to it now, and I'm more aware of a lot more things that go on the field, and I pay more attention to it. But any time that you look at Corey Philpott when he broke the rushing record here prior to that, you talk about those offensive lines, with Jamie Terrace and Ian Sinclair and Jim Mills. All those guys, they were good too. And those are the guys I can speak of because those are the guys I played with. Anytime you get a running back that, has the kind of year that Philpott had, your offensive line's got to be pretty good because he ain't going to do it by himself. But I think that complete O-line right across the board, I don't think that there's a weakness on that offensive line. I think the other thing, Daryl, more importantly, there's a real nastiness, that the real edge that they play with. The nastiness, I don't want it to be confused with dirty. Because they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. They play it hard. They play it to the whistle. And if you don't keep your head off, someone's going to knock it off. And that's the way it has to be played down there because it gets nasty. And those guys really, really set the tone, I think, for the rest of this team.
Are we getting an exhibition game this weekend against Calgary?
I hope not. I really do. I hope not. I hope that it's, I agree. I heard Dave Dickinson talk today. And I think that it's a situation where he said that he hopes that it is not treated like that because he's one of those guys, and I am 100% behind him. I don't think you need to play an exhibition game in Week 18. That's the farthest thing that you should be thinking about. You have got to be going full steam ahead, momentum, everybody feeling great about their game, and you cannot be putting it in to overdrive, or taking it and not putting it into overdrive. I just think that you really, really flirt with disaster because it's momentum. Daryl is not one of those things that you can just flick on and off. And a perfect example of this, and you would understand this more than anybody, is you look at the Colorado Rockies. Are you going to tell me that momentum that they had going into the World Series was not completely crushed by an 8-day layoff?
Yeah, and Julio, I go back. Remember I was telling you how Cleveland was not having that series go back to Boston?
Yeah.
They had a day off in between there. They just won game three. Lost game three, but they just won game four. They won game three. They won game four. There was a day off in between game four and five.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that's sometimes all it takes, right? And when you get on that kind of a roll, you want to keep doing it. You want to keep doing it. And for Colorado to sit there for 8 days and have to wait for that first game, after you look at Boston, who's finishing off an emotional roller coaster and winning game seven. You just want to capitalize on that. And then it's one of those things where, you just have to be able to carry it forward. And obviously Colorado wasn't. And I just think that it applies the same for football. You just do not want to lay your foot off that gas pedal. You have got to be going full throttle. And I hope all he's learned through all of his years that you do not make that mistake come week 18. You have got to be playing your guys. I'm not saying play them a whole game. I'm not saying, you got to start guys, go start to finish. But, a good half And that half better be productive, and that half better be pretty efficient. And guys have got to be making their, you know, doing the right thing and running the right route and making sure their assignments are right. And then I say, yeah, get some other guys in there, but don't treat it like I'm going to rest everybody, because then all of a sudden you got 2 weeks off, and then all of a sudden you're going to have the Western Final, and then you're going to expect to go out there and fly around.
I'm asking all my guests this one today, Julio, Culture Patriots.
Oof, man, oh, man. That is a very, very good question. They're so good, the two of them. I tell you, it's. I don't know if there has there been a bigger regular season game in the last what?
Well, you're talking probably. I mean, I don't know offhand, but you're probably talking, as they say in football, the post salary cap era. You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's
yeah. I am going to say Indianapolis.
I agree. Actually.
I got a funny feeling about Indy, and I think people have overlooked them. And
they're home
at home, and they've got defensively, they're pretty good. But it's going to be fun to watch. Those two guys, I tell you, I make a point to watch them play because, you know, they handle that position with such ease, and you really, it's almost kind of, you look at them and you say, man, oh man, they play it at a completely different level than 99% of the guys out there because they make it look so easy.
Awesome. Julio Caravana, he picks the Colts, and he hopes the Lions don't treat it like an exhibition game. Julio, I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah.
And just so you know, last home game, I barely made it on time.
I know, you were sweating.
You remember that, eh?
You were sweating like crazy. You had a wool hat on, and you were sweating like crazy.
It's called a toque, Julio.
I know, you need a toque.
I ran, what can I say?
Yeah, with a toque on and a wool sweater.
Yeah, but I made it.
You did. Well, you're always there. You're the best.
I
people out there don't realize that. I don't kid you about that. You're aces, man. There's no one that comes close to you.
I agree. What can I say?
Yeah.
I agree. Julio Caravana. Julio, I'll see you on the weekend.
I look forward to it, Daryl. Thanks
awesome.
Very much,
thanks,
buddy.
Julio. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break right now. I have to run to the washroom. When we're back, BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas, and the band I'm about to play right now, they're on my show September 4th. So I want to replay one of their songs, Dave Ward, Loose Change Trio. So I'll be right back in a jiffy. I hope I make it back in time. Bye.
Praises sweet on my knees, Lord. I will follow your gracious lead, heading for the last train of glory. Meet again until that time. I will rest in the grace of a God. I said, until that time. Of God.
Arcade student featured UBC TV. Check out www.ubctv.ca. Originally conceived in 1990, UBC TV reinvented itself this past year with the launch of www.ubctv.ca. With support from UBC Rec and run by and for students, the site showcases student material ranging from films and music videos to sports, including the production of its own show, UBC Sports Desk. With the goal of getting students involved, UBC TV allows students to submit their content. Viewers have the added advantage of video on demand, allowing them to choose with ease exactly what they want to watch and when. UBC TV is recruiting staff for the next school year. Positions available are IT Director, Marketing Director, Program Director, Producer, Videographer, and Marketing Assistant. Anyone interested is requested to send an email to info@ubctv.ca or to log on to ubctv.ca for more details.
I want to be on your TV so that you might notice me.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. With us on the line right now from Nevada, Las Vegas, BJ Brian Bass. And BJ, I have a problem with life right now.
Yeah, well, Burt Reynolds, man. You got Burt Reynolds. You have a problem with life. You got Burt Reynolds on your side, man.
You know, here's my issue I just had, okay, is the show's about to start, and I want a water, okay? I just want a sip of water, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I go to the machine, and they sell water out of the machine, right? A beer downstairs today on Tuesdays at the gallery here on campus is $2. That's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
An Aquafina out of the vending machine is $1.75. And I had about 5 quarters and a nickel. I don't know what I had, but I didn't have $1.75 in change. It takes $1.75 in change on this campus to get a sip of water. Isn't that wrong?
Wow. Well, you should have got a beer instead.
I already did, but I needed the water.
Perfect.
On top of that. So there you go. Okay, with us right now from Nevada, Las Vegas, to talk a little National Football League is BJ Bass. And BJ, let's get right into the big games. And we're going to get into the big game this week in a moment. But before we do that, Patriots 52-7 versus Washington. The big question, of course, did they run up the score?
No, I mean, listen. Yeah, we've talked about this pretty almost every week. The Patriots have played football, which has obviously been every week. You know, the only place where it gets real kind of tricky is, you know, they're up 38-0. It's the fourth quarter. Brady and the starters are still in the game. They're not running the ball. They're throwing the ball downfield. Randy Moss, Wes Welker had a big catch downfield in the fourth quarter. They're going for it on fourth down. You know, you start to kind of maybe, but you know what? At the end of the line, it's professional football. It's a National Football League. If you don't like it, Joe Gibbs and the Washington Redskins, stop them. If you don't want them to keep scoring, stop them. And that's the way you got to look at it. I mean, it's you know, it's so funny that are we hurting someone's feelings?
Yeah, we're not talking about floor.
I don't care. Sorry, Dale, continue.
Yeah, we're not talking Florida State 5 years ago running it up against a Division AA team, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the funny thing of you know, you see how they're, the Pats are running up the score. I don't understand what their argument is here.
Yeah, we're paying our defense tens of millions of dollars to stop these guys.
You know, especially the Redskins, what, they have 5 or 6 defensive backs drafted in the first round. They're paying a lot of money to a lot of guys on the defense. It's a third-ranked defense in the NFL. You know, I watched that game, and Darryl, I kind of like caught on to something after the whole Dolphins game. Was, you know, as a sports bettor, if I'm not parlaying the Patriots and the over every single week through the rest of the season, I should have my head examined. So I did that. I did that this week. Then I started getting a little nervous. It's the Redskins. Their defense is decent. You know, maybe the Pats are going to kind of, you know, pull the guys out before the big showdown with Indianapolis. These guys started putting points on the board and just did not stop. You know, I'm not going to gush about the Patriots and the best team ever because anything to do with sports, that's all you're seeing right now. But what I will tell your listeners is pay attention. enjoy this game on Sunday. Enjoy what the Patriots are doing, because this is truly special, and this is something that we haven't seen before, and it's something you're going to be telling your kids about.
So you went into it, BJ, Patriots, Colts, and you know what? I will say you kind of sold me on your whole, these are professionals, what are the Redskins whining about? I'm with you now. Patriots, Colts, 4.5 point. New England is the favorite going into Indianapolis. Your thoughts on this great game?
Yeah, the line's actually moved up to 5.5. The over-under is currently at 56.5. Probably looking at some more movement on both of those numbers before the game goes on Sunday. You know, it's amazing because, you know, it's in Indy, and the Colts are getting 5.5, and they're undefeated, and they're the Super Bowl champions. You know, I don't see how you can bet against New England at this point. I don't see how you can go against New England at this point. I understand they're coming in, but, you know, New England, this team is on a mission. And this team is on a mission. You know, you want to come out, you want to talk about, oh, tainted Super Bowls. Oh, our three rings don't count because, oh, maybe we cheated. They're coming out to prove to everybody, you know, put 10 video cameras on the sidelines. It doesn't matter because this team is that good, is that prepared. And then, of course, you have a little bit of a revenge factor coming in for the Pats as well. They were up in the AFC Championship game last year. The Colts came from behind, ended up winning that game, of course, winning the Super Bowl. So you have a little revenge as well. You know, I don't see how you can't take the Pats. A
couple weeks ago, BJ, you said that New England is the – actually, it was last week, I believe, you said New England is the team to beat. You know, you don't buy into the heavyweight championship thing where you got to beat the champ to be the champ.
Right.
We do get to find that out this weekend, and the Patriots are going into Indy's yard, and Indy is the heavyweight champion right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've seen a lot of turnover on Indy, and you know, we've seen guys that are replacing key departures for that team really step up and really play good football. And listen, the Colts are an amazing football team. They're easily the best team in the NFL, not named the Patriots. And they have a great chance to go back and repeat as the Super Bowl champion. But, you know, going up against these Patriots and Belichick and you know, the way you see Tom Brady yelling at the offensive line for getting a false start in the red zone in the fourth quarter when they're up 38-0. I mean, this is how much intensity that this team is playing with right now. And these guys are on a mission. They will not be beat. They are on a mission to do that, to win the Super Bowl. And I don't think the Colts can beat them. I think that if they end up playing again in the playoffs, you know, maybe. But, I just don't see it there. What New England is doing is incredible. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know, Beej, a win's a win.
Tom Brady has 30 touchdowns.
A win's a win.
Week 8.
A win's a win. And they're going into Indianapolis and... You know, there's a guy I have on my show here from the UBC basketball team each week who wears this jersey. My most hated jersey wearer out there is the guy who wears a Peyton Manning jersey, okay? That's number 0 on my list. And this week, I think Indianapolis at home will be able to defeat the New England Patriots.
Wow.
I just get that feeling. You know, it's Peyton Manning, Adai, you know, Harrison. They are the champs, and... Let's find out, but this is the team that beat New England last year in the championship game, and this is a golden opportunity for Indy. If they win this game, I mean, to be an underdog at home, do you
and undefeated? Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's something that you won't see.
Yeah, and you're the defending Super Bowl champs. Do you need any more motivation than that? You know, BJ, what I want to see Indy do, it won't happen in pro football, but I had it on Georgia versus Florida this weekend. Did you see the replay of that one?
Yes.
The touchdown, Georgia going up 7-0, and the entire team stormed the field to celebrate in the end zone? You got to feel Indy's got a little of that chip on their shoulder this weekend, so I'm going the Colts. I think Peyton Manning beats Tom Brady this week. It's going to be a great game, and, you know, it's one of those, you know, BJ, we go to the Shark Club each week, and we watch football, as you know, and there's going to be two other games on, Seattle at Cleveland and Houston at Oakland. why have those games on any of the TVs? Just put Colts Indy on every single TV you've got. It's going to be a great one. And I'll tell you now, I'm picking the Colts. I'm picking the Colts in this one. So.
Well, and listen, you know, Daryl, you hit a great point. I mean, you know, if you're looking for motivation and how the Colts are going to do that, they have it. I mean, they're entering this game in a great situation because there's not a lot of people out there that aren't Colts fans that think they're going to win this game, and it gives them, like you said, a chip on the shoulder, a lot to prove. You know, the one thing that drives me crazy about the Colts is, you know, there was an interview last night with Tony Dungy, and he's talking about the point spread, and you know, of course, the NFL point spread doesn't exist, and sports wagering doesn't exist, but, you know, Dungy talked about how, you know, they're the underdog and they're at home, and when he was talking about point spreads, he said something that was very interesting. He said that over the last couple of years, he felt the Indianapolis Colts were giving away too many points as favorites in the last couple seasons. As a sports bettor, we've seen the Indianapolis Colts kneel on the one with over a minute left.
Yeah.
When when they're up by one and the spread is three and they can kick a field goal and cover. You know, Tony Dungy is pretty much saying that all of you thousands of Colts fans around the league who are supporting our team by betting on us every single week, we don't care about you. And you know what? I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
No,
I think it's despicable.
I disagree with you. Why should they care about the point spread? They're out there to win games. They're out there to ignore that point spread. Good for Tony Dungy and the boys.
But, I mean, isn't there a point where just, you know, the pussification of your football team and, you know, being respectful and, well, we're just going to beat him by one instead of four when he's aware of the spread and he's aware that every Colt fan is cheering for them just to kick the field goal, cover the points. I mean, I think it shows, a little disrespect to their fans. I just didn't like that. I'd rather have a guy like Belichick who bucks out into the middle of the field, flips you the bird across the sidelines and says, try and stop us. That's the team I want to cheer for.
Yeah, this is a guy who's been in Las Vegas too long, folks. VJ, let's move on. You take the Patriots, I take the Colts. Brett Favre last night. I mean, well, the touchdown to win at 82 yards to Greg Jennings, unbelievable in the overtime. But his numbers before that, I mean, and including that, I should say, 21 of 27, 331, two touchdowns, no interceptions. The Packers go to 6-1, a statement game for them. Are they a Super Bowl? I mean, you got to figure it's the Colts or the Patriots are the favorite, but to get to the Super Bowl, I mean, they're right there, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, their record's 6-1. You know, they're tied for the top spot in the NFC. And you know, with the three teams in the NFC, I think I would rank them Giants, Cowboys, Packers. I think I put the Packers below both of those other teams. But, you know, they came out and they did what they had to do, and that was win the football game. And they did it by running the football, something that they haven't been able to do. You know, at any point in the season, they go into Denver. Denver has the worst rushing defense in the league. They needed to run the ball, and they did that. And what you saw that do is that all set up, you know, that bomb in overtime is because they're running the ball, play action, bomb deep in the end zone. You got to love that play call by Mike McCarthy. Calls the exact same play that he starts the game with, play action, bomb to James Jones. You know, the Packers are playing solid football. Their defense looked really good again. You need to have the ability to run a football. The one loss that the Packers have is that loss to Chicago. And the reason they lost that game is they were up in that game. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't kill the clock. They kept giving Chicago chances to get back in the game, and they got back in the game. So, the Packers, absolutely. Great. They're playing great football. You know, and as a sports bettor, I took Brett Favre plus a field goal on the road. And, I mean, you know, when it's overtime and the Packers are getting the ball, there's not too many other quarterbacks that you'd rather have the ball in their hands than Brett Favre. And as long as the odds makers are going to keep giving the Packers points, I'm going to keep taking them.
Yeah, I bet on Denver in that one.
Yeah.
Tennessee, you want to talk about them?
I thought, you know, what was really interesting for Tennessee is you know, Vince Young is back and they're coming out, they're taking on the Raiders. And Tennessee is a team that people are saying have turned the corner and are becoming a contender in the AFC South and a team that you don't want to meet in the playoffs. Once again, we saw unbelievably terrible play from the receivers on Tennessee. We saw a ton of drop balls. We saw drop touchdowns. I think this team has not turned the corner yet, I don't think. I think you see that defense playing amazingly well football, great football. But I don't think that the Tennessee is a true contender in the AFC right now because they can't catch the ball.
Right. Who they got down there? Brandon Jones?
Brandon Jones, Roy Dell Williams. Isn't there like a Roby running around there somewhere? You know, it's almost worse than San Diego. At least San Diego's a little bit better. They went out and got Chris Chambers. Chambers scored a touchdown this week. You know, Vincent Jackson's been a huge disappointment there in San Diego. But, you know, I think you really have to look at one of the worst receiving corps in the NFL being there in Tennessee. And, you know, Fisher came out after the game, head coach Jeff Fisher from Tennessee, and said, you know, we know we need to put more points on the board, but you got to do it from all over the field. It can't just be, you know, running the ball 40 times a game and then Vince Young with a couple passes. I was really surprised. I thought they were going to come out and really take it to Oakland. We've seen Oakland is absolutely garbage, and I was really surprised by Tennessee's inability to really put that team away with the opportunities they had to.
Well, we'll keep
listen, they won the game before with 8 field goals from Matt Barona. So, you know, putting points on the board is an issue for these guys.
Yeah, we'll find out. They take on Carolina, who's really struggling offensively at home this weekend. But Tennessee, you mentioned, relying on the run a little too much. Lendell White had a huge day, and whichever running back goes into the game for Tennessee, they got 3 guys there ripping
things up. Yeah, and they're all producing, which is obviously a great place to be for Jeff Fisher. But what he's going to have to do is trade one of these guys in the offseason for a receiver.
Awesome, Beej. Well, Beej, we're a little low on time here. Let's pick a couple games and have you on your way. The one I want to ask you about, great Monday Night Football game. Everybody raves about, you know, of course, the New England-Pittsburgh game, but there is a very good Monday Night Football game. A very tough Baltimore team with a 4-3 record going into Pittsburgh. That'll be a battle.
Yeah, it will be a battle. And you know, Baltimore is kind of, you know, one of those pretender teams where, you know, they've had a great record and haven't really beat anybody and haven't been able to put any points on the board and having big problems scoring, some injury issues there. Pittsburgh, of course, you know, had problems last week going into Denver and got beat by a team they probably shouldn't have. You know, as far as a better, you know, Pittsburgh's giving up 10 points and double digits in the division seems a little high. But at the same time, I mean, can you really take Baltimore and think that they're going to be able to hang with Pittsburgh? You know, Pittsburgh's doing a great job of you know, moving the ball on offense and playing Pittsburgh Steelers football. You know, Willie Parker rushing the ball, and there's a really funny record out there, and something about Roethlisberger and the Steelers' record is, you know, 20-0 or something when he attempts less than 20 passes, and that's classic Pittsburgh Steelers football. And as we've seen in Denver, where they stray away from that, they have problems. When they stick to their guns and play Steelers football, they're being very successful. So, you know, what Steelers team are you going to see is a question that worries me.
Well, I'm flat out going to go betting Baltimore in this football game. I mean, Pittsburgh, they put up a lot of points on the weekend. They beat Cincinnati 24-13, and this is Baltimore. I mean, and you mentioned Steeler football, and you mentioned the fact they got to run the ball. If there's a team out there that's going to shut out Willie Parker, it's the Baltimore Ravens. They shut down a run for a living. That's what they've made their franchise about the last, you know, 6-7 years. They have Ed Reed in the backfield, defensive back there. And although Baltimore may not put up too many points, they are going to cover a 10-point spread. That's my gut there, right? So,
I like the way you think. I like the way you think. I'll tell you a game I do like next week.
Lay it on.
Is the Washington Redskins are giving up 3.5 to the Jets in New York in the Meadowlands. Obviously, the Redskins got absolutely embarrassed this week, and I'm looking for them to bounce back. They're a better football team than that, and I'm looking at them to really bounce back, put some points on the board, and really spank the Jets. They need to do that for a team. If they don't do that, I think they're looking at a lost season there. Gibbs has got to get them back on the same page and back on the game plan, and I'm looking for the Redskins to really come into New York. The Jets are having some serious problems. Pennington has been pulled. We're going to see Kellen Clemens start for the Jets on Sunday. I look at Washington coming out and really putting a beating on New York.
I'll agree with you, BJ. The New York Jets, they are going to have a ton of trouble scoring points. They lost by 10 points to Buffalo at home, I believe that game was.
Yep.
On the weekend, and yeah, I'm with you. I'll take the Redskins. Beej, you got another game? We got to get going here, though. You got another
one? Well, you know, I think one of the most interesting games on the board is the Jaguars-Saints. The Saints this week, and I told your listeners to bet the Saints going into San Francisco, and that was the easiest game on the board in my mind. They came out, absolutely smoked out the 49ers, a team that is having big, big issues. Frank Gore is obviously just playing through pain when he's on the field and really shouldn't be out there. Jacksonville, you know, Jeff Garcia and Tampa Bay hosted the Jags on Sunday. Garcia hadn't thrown an interception this season. Going into it, through two, one got taken back for a touchdown. Jacksonville showed a lot of resiliency in winning with Quinn Gray as their quarterback. Really, really surprised me. Was what my worst loss of the weekend. And now they're going into a team in New Orleans where the Saints have obviously turned it around a little bit. I think that they just, you know, there was too much pressure on them. And the Saints, oh my God, and are they going to win? And when are they going to win? And you know, you saw a guy like Drew Brees just pushing it too much. They've settled down. They're playing Saints football. They're moving the ball. They're putting points on the board. We saw Colston finally get into the game. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. If Jacksonville can go into New Orleans, Jacksonville's in the middle of a three-game road trip right now, and obviously in the same division with teams like the Colts and the Titans. If they can go into New Orleans and leave the Superdome with a win, I will be extremely impressed. And Jacksonville has shown that you know they're a real team. On the flip side, if it comes in and the Saints just really smoke them out, shows Jacksonville's probably not the team this year. They're a little bit of a pretender. Quinn Gray ain't going to get it done at quarterback, and the Saints are back on top. And so that's why I'm looking for the Saints to come in and win that game. If I can give up less than a field goal, I'm going to do that.
All right, I'm going to go Jacksonville. I just like their defense, and the Saints are a little too hot for me right now. Okay, BJ, he takes New England. I take Indianapolis. We don't take Baltimore over Pittsburgh. We both take Washington over the Jets. He takes the Saints. I take the Jaguars. Sound right to you?
It does indeed.
There you go. Thanks, Beej. Talk to you soon.
Here's burgers.
All right, everybody. We're going to take one last break. We'll be right back with Darren Watts, former member of the UBC Thunderbird men's baseball team, former Brooklyn Cyclone. We're going to talk a little baseball with them. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Sad. Believe it or not, we're talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports. Please listen.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winter's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us right now, former UBC Thunderbird men's baseball player. He was the first player ever drafted, correct?
Yeah.
You were the first UBC Thunderbird ever drafted by the New York Mets. Darren Watts, former UBC Thunderbird men's baseball player, former Brooklyn Cyclone.
Indeed.
Where else did you play?
Where did I play?
You played Springfield or what was it? Something?
Port St. Lucie, Kingsport. Binghamton, you name it, I'm sure I've seen.
See, Brooklyn we've heard of.
Yeah.
Who are those other guys?
Upstate New York, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina, pretty much anywhere out on the East Coast.
You traveled around. So Darren with us to talk a little baseball. Darren, I want to get into the World Series, but I got a couple other things I want to ask you about first. You were, as a former Brooklyn Cyclone, New York Met organization, boy.
Yep.
What the hell happened to those guys down the stretch? What did you see happen to the Mets there, the great collapse?
The only thing I could think of is that they had some pretty good tee times that they needed to make. None of us have ever seen anything like that before, and it was sad to see that some of my former teammates and buddies were involved in that.
Because David Wright, Jose Reyes.
Yeah, David Wright, Jose Reyes. D. Wright was one of my roommates for a bit. It was... It sucked.
Because that was a team. I mean, that's if they make the playoffs, they're the favorite to get out of the National League, no matter how bad they got in there.
Yeah, it's there's nobody else in the National League that would even come close to matching up with them come playoff time.
They even know what happened, you think? I mean, what did you see happen?
A lot of the media is saying, you know, they just had no heart and, you know, gave up and all that stuff. But, I mean, it came down to just executing, you know. And you don't want every game to come down to ninth inning. You got to execute in the first, second, third inning. And they just didn't do that for the entire month of September.
Because David Wright was actually decent, my understanding is, for September. But Reyes went.
Yeah, Reyes hit about his body weight. He hit, 200 and didn't look too hot out there.
And Pedro, they pay him a lot of money, and he doesn't pitch very much. That sort of seems to be what's going on there, hey?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of those flip a coin, you know? He could have come out, and people would have said he was a bargain, and he had surgery, and it didn't happen to turn out the way they planned it. But, I mean, it's one of those things that you can't really predict, right?
And your thoughts, though, before we get into the series, a couple more things, is Joe Torre, that whole New York Yankees thing, looked like they're going to re-sign, they're going to actually sign Joe Girardi to be their manager. Joe Torre, is this a guy, I mean, you know, playing professional baseball, I mean, does his name come up? Is he a very respected manager? Or?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that people say, you know, like, you go out there and you want to play for a guy like that, and I'm actually glad he turned down their offer. I thought it was kind of a slap in the face in regards to, I mean, him being the best manager the last, you know, 15 years, yeah. And it's I'm glad that he walked and is able to now pick and choose where he's going to go.
And Joe Girardi, anything about this guy or?
He's a guy who players will get behind. I know that.
Yeah. Hey, How do you know this?
One of my former buddies is Mike Jacobs, first baseman with the Marlins, and he's a guy who's like, you know, you'd go to war for him. So. You see how intense he is out there arguing with umpires and stuff. So I think it'd be a good fit, and you'll need somebody like that come there in New York.
And was he manager of the year in Florida?
Manager and fired.
GM, owner? What was the story there? Had to be one of them.
Yeah, it was the owner. The owner and him butt heads. And
oh, that idiot who moved
He moved the Expos. Didn't they? Was it Lowry?
Yeah. And he tried to buy the Red Sox. What was that? Or did he own the Reds? What did he do? There was a whole thing that went on there.
I think he owned the Expos and basically just, it was like trading cards. Just
he
traded.
Bought Florida, and right. then the owner of Florida bought the Red Sox. Does that sound right?
Something, either way.
It was
like,
weird.
It's like musical chairs.
Yeah, it was weird. Oh, so it was just Jeffrey Loria, that guy.
Yeah,
he was the guy at the World Series when they won it versus the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. They show the owner's box, and he's normally surrounded by friends and family.
Yeah.
There was no family to speak of.
No. Nope.
And it was all just sort of these weird, like, almost like lackeys or something
that. He probably paid them on his way into Yankee Stadium.
Do you know
Stadium?
What I'm talking about? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it's like a weird kind of a strange-looking entourage he had with him.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And the last guy, and he's the big question in baseball. Your thoughts on A-Rod announcing Game 4 of the World Series during that game that he's not going to be re-signing with the Yankees. I mean, that's a Bush move, any way you cut it there.
Although he is the most talented player in the big leagues, I mean, hands down, he's really disappointing. Just his character, or lack thereof. One, to announce it during the clinching game of the World Series. I mean, even if he had done it, I don't know, game two or three, like the clinching game of the World Series is really disgusting, as well as the fact that he thinks he's worth more, because if that's the case, that's gross. But if he just needs a change of scenery, but I mean,
what are you going to do with more money anyways? It doesn't even matter.
It as of right now, I mean, he's proven that he can put up the numbers, but he's a cancer. I mean, no team he's been on has
done a thing.
Yeah.
Well, the Yankees have done it, but
they would have done that without him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what is – I mean, my A-Rod moment in these playoffs was Cleveland game 3 or 4. Did Cleveland win it in 4? They won it in Yankee Stadium though, right?
Yeah.
So it was Cleveland game 2,
yeah.
And it was the top of the 9th, 2-out, tie game, and it's Carmona against A-Rod with first base empty in a tie game, and they pitched to him.
Yeah.
And the announcers were like, I can't believe they're pitching to A-Rod, but – no, they just said, look, they weren't even that surprised that he was pitching there. They didn't debate it,
no.
And he struck him out.
Yeah. He's
What is he thought of? That's my, you know.
I don't know. It seems like one of those things where he's a guy who puts up the numbers, almost J.D. Drew-like. Like, he puts up the numbers, but he's never really there in a clutch situation. You know, J.D. Drew will hit 30 and get 100, but, I mean, those are useless when your team's down 10-0 or 6-0.
Is he thought of as a non-team guy, A-Rod? I mean, can you say anything, or have you heard anything?
I mean, at times I feel bad for him. Because, you know, you see him trying, but I mean, and then he comes out and does something like this, you know, game four, and I'm a free agent. Like, shut up already.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know. From what I've heard, he's not very much of a team guy.
What have you heard? If you can tell me anything, if you don't want to say it, that's fine. What have you heard?
I mean, he's just really talented, but he's a little full of himself and knows he's good. And I guess that's part of being good, I guess, you know, it's...
My thing with A-Rod, and tell me if I'm on track here, is it was when he left the Mariners, and they offered him, you know, just under $100 million or something like that, and then he goes to Texas for the big money. He's doing whatever. Texas is doing terrible. But Seattle's never been as good as the year they got rid of him. They brought in Ichiro that year, and that was the year they won 116 games, and they were rolling.
Yeah.
And he came into Seattle, and I actually got to go to a game, but he came into Seattle, and he was hurt. It seemed that he was getting razzed as much as he was by the fans. And I actually remember Terry McKay, your old coach, last game, it was the second last game of the season for the Mariners. They were trying to tie the record for 116 wins that the Cubs had in 1908 or whatever, 1906. And he got me and my mom the seats, and we were in Jeff Zimmerman's seats.
Okay.
And sitting in front of us, great seats, of course, right? And sitting in front of us was, I believe, because he was a young second baseman, I'm pretty sure it was Michael Young's wife.
Okay.
And I was, you know, I'm just with my mom and, you know, whatever. And we're talking to her about the game and whatever. And we're all into the Mariners and everything. And I go to her. She apparently was out for dinner with A-Rod the night before. And she said, yeah, you know, everybody's getting mad at him, but Seattle only offered him $96 million. I mean, come on. And that immediately went like, exactly, your reaction right there. But the other one is, I go, is he actually getting hurt and bugged by all this?
Yeah.
And she goes, she kind of looked at me, I recall her saying something like, what do you think? Like, of course he is. And I'm thinking, dude, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of guys, my question is, wouldn't a lot of guys thrive off of that situation?
Yeah.
Where you're going to your own team, they're razzing you, but you're the star, and, you know, wouldn't you almost make fun of it and attack it? And he just sort of went, how could you? This isn't fair. I mean, am I on the right track here?
When you're a player and you're at a visiting ballpark and people boo you, it's like cheers. You know, if people aren't booing, that means you're not doing anything.
Right.
So when you get booed, it's cheers, and you take it as that. And, I mean, I've never played in front of a crowd like that. But, I mean, 8, 9, 10,000 people booing you still sucks, but it still gives you a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. Yeah. Hulk Hogan said he never got as big a rush as when he became a heel, as he says.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Alex Rodriguez, I mean, I don't know. Where does he go now? Where do you see him landing?
Two teams with money, so Cubs or Anaheim.
Mets gonna bring him in, you think? Or
well, I've heard that David Wright said he'll go to second base.
Wright will go to second base. That helps me in my fantasy league. I got David Wright. Get some big numbers out. Get a Chase Utley for me at second base.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I remember going to Seattle, and they were with A-Rod. They were throwing the money in the air, the fake money in the air when he came back, and he got mad. I just got to tell the story. He got mad, and the Rangers got furious. A Seattle fan had a fishing rod.
I heard about this.
And it was over A-Rod's head.
Yeah.
And what, with a dollar bill at the end of it, or a $5 bill. And they were furious because not only did the Seattle fans not do anything to the fan himself, the security didn't even take the fishing rod away. What did you hear about it?
I heard something very similar. Yeah. That he was on deck and there's a dollar bill on a fish hook over his head.
And the security in Seattle, not only did they not do anything to the fan, they didn't even take the fishing rod away.
They probably gave him a better seat.
Exactly. They gave him like a free pop or something, like a bag of peanuts. Darren Watts with us, former UBC Thunderbird. Darren, your thoughts on the World Series. You were rooting for Jeff Francis, of course. It didn't happen for him, but he only did get the one start. Your thoughts, I mean, Jeff, you know, amazing season, amazing career up to this point, great postseason, but game one in Boston, he just didn't have it, did he? I mean, that's really, you hate to say it like that, but.
I mean, yeah, his location was off a bit, but I don't know if anybody could have thrown to the Red Sox, seeing how they dealt with the Rockies in four games. And to think Boomer had the best ERA in that first game. Morales came in and had an ERA of like 96.
Yeah.
And then who came as Spire after that? And,
yeah, he's the guy that got really killed.
And he
yeah.
gave up like...
Oh, no, it was Morales that got...
Morales was 95, and then the guy after him was like infinity.
Right.
You know, so... I mean, you look at how the Red Sox handled themselves in this series, and I don't think anybody could have beat them. They came back from they had a lot of momentum after beating the Indians, and it wasn't. I realize that Jeff didn't have his best stuff, but I don't think anybody could have beat them.
Right. Would have been nice to see him get another crack at it in Game 5.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I was hoping we would be talking about his start from last night.
Yeah.
But
that was the plan.
the series didn't last that long, and like I said, it wasn't so much. You know, their pitch is not executing. I mean, the Red Sox were just ridiculously hot, so you just got to kind of tip your cap and let it be.
And everybody's saying with Colorado, the shame with them was the big layoff.
Yeah.
How much of an effect does that have on a professional baseball player, an eight-day layoff?
I've spoken to a few people about this, and they say, you know, that might be an excuse for Game 1, maybe part of Game 2, but then there's Game 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And, I mean, by Game 3, they started hitting the ball well. And the way I see it is you never have an eight-day layoff. 2 days isn't enough to get back in a rhythm, and then they had another off day. So, I mean, now you're looking at 2 games in 11 days, and I mean, I really think it had something, not to make excuses for them, because, I mean, they dealt with it with the Diamondback series.
Yep.
So, I mean, it affected them, but, I mean, when you get out there, you're still a competitor, and you try and get it done, so.
Right, and you're looking at, you know, you go back to maybe the 98 Yankees. Was it the 98 Yankees that completely dominated? Think so, yeah.
And they just swept their way through?
Yeah. They had a lot of layoffs, I'm sure, too. So.
Yeah.
The great teams...
have layoffs.
I'm sure.
It was almost like they got punished for doing well.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is a case, though, with Colorado. You can safely say, I think, looking back at it, they were on a team that... they weren't the most talented team in baseball, but they just got on that huge roll, and once that roll maybe got broken, they were sort of...
I mean, you... when people start breaking down the numbers and you look at, you know, Holiday, MVP candidate, and Hop and Atkins, they're like, oh my gosh, these guys had over 100 RBIs. I mean, like, people who are real baseball fans knew that. And it was just a matter of, oh my goodness, is this going to click? Are these guys just putting up numbers?
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think they're one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the National League. But I mean, they put it all together, and I guess that's what you have to do. You got to get hot at the right time, and they showed that, you know, winning 21 of 22 or whatever they did is one, well, I don't know if we'll ever see that again in our lifetime, but it was pretty fun to enjoy the ride.
Do the players, because I'm sure I'm just wondering if you've talked to these guys about it, do they like the wild card system? I hate it, personally.
Really?
I hate it, yeah.
I love it. I love the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers...
we're in it at the end?
Right in at the end. And I don't even, was it like Cincinnati? And I was like, Cincinnati still have a baseball team? Like, it's awesome to see, it was like seven teams involved in 3 spots with a week left. Like that's what baseball's all about to me. I'd rather everybody be 500 and the right team get hot and win it.
I hear you. Here's my thing is I was a big fan, you know, they have 4 division now. They used to only have 1 division in each league. I was a big fan of the top teams.
Yeah.
Going at it down the stretch. Does that make sense? I mean, the Red Sox and the Yankees are a prime example.
Yeah.
Under the old system, you go back through the last 6-7 years, the pennant races those teams would have had would have been absolutely – they would have been epic.
Yeah.
And you take this year, you would have had Cleveland, Boston, and the Yankees coming down to maybe the last week of the season. I mean, you would have had those games where the Yankees play the Red Sox in August would have been huge. You lose that now. You lose that a bit.
I don't know if you lose it. I think
it's not the same.
It isn't the same. But as a growing up a Jays fan, it's nice to see, you know, the Jays were what 8 out, you know, in September, and it's like, oh man, maybe there's still a chance. There's no chance. But I mean, it's nice for people in Toronto and I don't know, maybe Tampa Bay in a couple years and Milwaukee. They started off hot but got cold the wrong time. It's just nice for, I think it's better for the game to be. Have longer pennant races.
Because I was a huge fan in 93, the last year of the divisions, where it was, I don't know if you remember, Atlanta and San Francisco. Atlanta won 104, San Francisco won 103, and it was the Dodgers beat the Giants on the last day of the season in L.A., and, you know, they got to say, we knocked out the Giants. Meanwhile, the Giants had beat the Dodgers, like,
either two or three games before that to make it. Like, but it doesn't matter. I don't know. I'll stand by that as long as I go. I like the old pennant race because the most famous moment in the history of baseball is Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world. Yep. Which I don't. I'm sure that's talked. Was that talked about in Brooklyn when you were there? Or?
No, but I mean we saw it. In our intro, they showed highlights of it.
You know, and that can never happen again. That what the Rockies win? Because the Rockies had a crazy one there, but that was for the wild card.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Yeah, but I mean, they sold 500 tickets a minute on Wild Card Monday. You know, to get to have people watch.
I'm sure for the local teams it's better, but from the okay, I'll stand by that. I'll stand by that. How good was this Boston team, Darren?
They dominated all year. They hit a little rough spot. I don't know if it was end of July, early August or something, but they dominated absolutely all year. And, I mean, you got guys like Euclid having to sit out in the World Series. Like, come on. Like, that's back, like, the Jays when Molitor and Olerud were.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those are, like, two of the top three guys in the league. So this team was good. And I think the AL East is in trouble here for another few years.
And the Yankees have a ways to go to catch up, or they can do it overnight here?
Well, if Rivera leaves and Posada leaves, and it's going to be a new regime when Girardi walks in there, and I don't know if guys are going to, I mean, they're all superstars. You know, there's really no role players on that team. So.
And they all have the guaranteed contracts. And
you wish they had a couple like Ellsbury's and Pedroia's, and guys like Pedroia, are you kidding me? Like, there's no... Guys look at him as like, I could be Pedroia. I was like, you can't. Like, he's a freak. He's awesome.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
And Ellsbury's going to be a good one, too.
Yeah, you keep get him in your fantasy league, guys, because he's gonna be a guy who hits 300 and steals 50, and people be like, where'd this kid come from? Oregon State, man. He's money.
There you go. Awesome. Darren Watts. Darren, we got to get off the air here. Thanks so much for doing this. Your fiance, correct?
Yep.
Kerry Watson, assistant coach for the UC Thunder women's basketball team. Keep their heads up. They had a rough game there against SFU.
But, hey, one quick thing. Can I say hi to a buddy of mine, Jason, and his wife just had a kid.
Oh, there you
Michelle,
go.
And they just had. Oh no, I'm going blank.
Good boy, girl.
Little boy, healthy baby boy. I'm sorry about that, but we just want to say congrats to them, and best of luck.
Awesome, Darren, you got through that. Darren Watts. Darren, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Darren.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What am I about to hit here, Mike? Disc one?
Disc one, track one.
What are we listening to, Mike?
Some AFI for Halloween.
AFI?
Yep.
For Halloween. Coming up right now, Mike with Flex Your Head. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. Tonight.